You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Marijuana possession and use is still illegal at the federal level and at the state level here in Wisconsin. But several states, including our neighbors in Michigan, have passed laws at the state level to allow for the consumption and possession of cannabis in some capacity. In Michigan's case, it's been legal for residents at least 21 years old to use medical marijuana since 2008. And just this past year, the state passed a proposal that would make recreational marijuana legal. But Michigan's had a tough time regulating the drug, and these regulatory issues were the focus of a recent piece from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Dee Hall is the managing editor at WCIJ. Dee, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, this piece written by journalism student Rochelle Wilson. Why did WCIJ want to take a look at our neighbors' marijuana laws in Michigan in particular?
Well, one of the things is that Michigan is one of the first in the upper Midwest, if not the first in the upper Midwest, to legalize recreational marijuana. Medical marijuana is already legal in places like Minnesota and Illinois. But this was the first one of our neighbors that was actually going the route of legalizing recreational.
And easier said than done, I think, is a part of the conclusion of this piece. What kind of wrinkles is Michigan contending with now?
Well, we talked to a top policy expert in Michigan, and he told Rochelle that essentially, even though they had had medical marijuana legalization for about a decade, they still had never quite figured out how to regulate it in a very smooth way. He described it as a complicated system that no one could figure out. So a new governor came in, and she basically scrapped the old system and is combining the recreational marijuana legalization regulations along with the medical marijuana to make it what's supposed to be a smoother system that makes a lot more sense.
One question is, who can sell marijuana now that it's recreationally legal? Who, where, and why? What kind of objections are you seeing from local governments there?
So right now, it's in a weird little limbo situation, because although you can consume marijuana, you cannot sell it to anybody. So where these people are getting their marijuana to consume it recreationally is an open question, but you can gift it. So some entrepreneurs have figured out a way to gift marijuana, to sell you an item, and then that comes with a free side gift of marijuana.
So buy two surprisingly expensive used books was one example.
For example.
And get marijuana alongside.
And get some edibles for free. So that's the way they're handling it right now in Michigan. So, but later on, you can also grow your own. So you can have up to 12 plants and you can possess up to 2.5 ounces. So they're in a limbo right now. They have not allowed sales yet. And then sales will be decided by local jurisdictions, by municipalities. And that's what we focused on a lot, was the sort of opt-in option that they have in their regulations.
What are you seeing when it comes to a local community opting in or out of marijuana sales?
So 56% of voters overall approve this. And Michigan is a state that has initiatives. We don't here in Wisconsin. So the citizens, the voters can force the government to do something they want them to do. So 56% of people said yes. Many of those communities that said yes, however, when it comes down to the city council level to either approve or to block recreational marijuana sales, a lot of them are blocking them because they just don't know how it's going to play out. They're concerned about the difference in jurisdiction between the federal law, which prohibits it, and the state law, which allows it. And so what they're finding is many communities have decided, yeah, we're not going to allow sales here.
At least one community you looked at this as a potential economic opportunity, in part maybe to revive blighted areas.
Yes, that was Madison Heights. Rochelle talked to the mayor there, who is hoping that this new legalization effort will really lead to a revitalization for his community. He was mentioning a bunch of derelict industrial sites in the town. It's mostly a blue-collar town, retired and current auto workers, factory workers. And so he is hoping that this push will reinvigorate some of these, physically reinvigorate these sites, and also that many of the people in the community are already medical marijuana users, and he feels like bringing the medicine closer to the patients is going to be good for everybody.
A lot of the communities in Michigan, it sounds like, are taking a wait-and-see approach to see what other places go through when they do this. And some states, maybe like Wisconsin, are taking a wait-and-see approach. What kind of what kind of questions are raised in Michigan that might be a factor in lawmakers' thinking here in Wisconsin?
Well, I know that Representative Melissa Sargent has a broad legalization bill that she's introduced. It's only got Democratic co-sponsors, as far as I know, as of 2 weeks ago. That bill would have an opt-in, opt-out provision. And it precisely because of the concern about whether local communities really are going to warm up to the idea of sales, whether perhaps they like the idea, the general idea of people having the freedom to use marijuana, but they don't like the specifics of having a marijuana dispensary in their neighborhood or on the corner or in their downtown. So there, I think that bill sort of anticipates that potential conflict.
Dee, thanks a lot for sharing this reporting with us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's Dee Hall, managing editor at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. She joins us today to talk about a recent piece from WCIJ that takes a look at Michigan's marijuana laws and why it's been difficult for the state to figure out exactly how to regulate the drug. Now we take a broader look at marijuana laws across the country. There are currently 33 states that allow medical marijuana, 11 recreational. There's a patchwork of laws from state to state, and as we just heard, some difficult issues to sort out within states as well. Robert Mikos is a professor of law at Vanderbilt University and an expert in marijuana laws. Robert, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, as we just heard there, Robert, the work just begins once legalization is passed in some ways. What are some of the big issues that states have to sort out when they decide to legalize marijuana?
Yeah, it's a lot more complicated than simply legalizing the drug. In a sense, states have to figure out what to replace prohibition with. And to do that, they have to answer a lot of questions, like will they allow users to grow their own? How much will they allow users to possess? Who are they going to allow to use the drug? Just medical users? And then for what sort of medical conditions, or all adults. There's also a lot of questions that surround the supply of the drug. Who will states allow to grow and sell the drug commercially? What sort of regulations are they going to impose on them? Will they limit the potency of the drug? Will they restrict its advertising? Will they let local communities opt out of this whole system? So there's a whole slew of questions that goes along with moving from prohibition to a more civil regulatory framework.
Underlying all of this, too, is the fact that whatever a state says, pot, marijuana is still illegal at the federal level, right?
Yeah, that certainly makes everything more complicated. The states can actually get away with quite a bit in this domain. But having the federal government kind of looming over them with a very strict prohibition, at least a strict prohibition on the books, makes it a lot trickier. For example, just to give one example on the medical marijuana side, to get around the federal prohibition, the states have tried to involve physicians, but physicians, of course, are going to be worried about losing some of their privileges and licenses with the federal government if they go ahead and, say, prescribe this forbidden drug to a patient. So the states have had to be clever in writing their regulations in a way that doesn't expose these important parties like physicians to federal liability. So that's why in all of those medical marijuana states right now, they don't ask physicians to write a prescription for marijuana, because if you do that, you'll get in trouble with the federal government. Instead, they ask physicians to issue what's called a recommendation for marijuana. So states have, in writing their laws, they just had to be aware of all the obstacles that are posed by the federal government and do what they can to get around some of those obstacles.
There was concern about a back and forth. The Obama administration had an advisory saying, okay, let's not prioritize marijuana enforcement in states that have legalized. We had President Trump's first Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, who sure looked like he might go the other way on that. That never seemed to happen. What is the current state of affairs when it comes to federal enforcement of marijuana laws in states that have legalized?
It really hasn't changed much from the Obama administration, notwithstanding former Attorney General Sessions' much dimmer view of marijuana and marijuana legalization. Right now, the federal government and federal prosecutors still aren't prosecuting people who are growing and selling marijuana in compliance with state law. They're just not an enforcement priority. In part, that's because Congress has gotten in on the act, and Congress, for the last few years in the DOJ's budget, has actually barred the DOJ, the Department of Justice, from using any of its money, any of its budgeted funds, to prosecute people who act in compliance with state medical marijuana laws. So in a sense, the Trump administration's hands are tied when it comes to marijuana. But I think that recreational marijuana laws as well have just become so popular and have reached into so many different states that right now the Department of Justice just doesn't have the resources or the will to try to engage in a crackdown. So the rhetoric may be a little bit different from the Obama administration, but the practice on the ground really hasn't been all that different.
Robert Mikos is with us. He's a professor of law at Vanderbilt University, an expert in marijuana laws. He's with us to talk about the state-by-state implementation of laws regulating cannabis. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see a change in marijuana laws at the federal level, at the Wisconsin level? If it were legalized, how would you like to see that put into practice? We'll go to your calls now. Jacob starts us off in Madison. Jacob, hi.
Hey, Rob and Robert, thanks for taking my call. It's happy to be with you.
What did you want to bring up, Jacob?
Well, you know, in my opinion, I think that the prohibition on marijuana has been a colossal failure, and I think to continue to keep it prohibited is unsafe, and I'm speaking from experience because, Rob, I was in high school less than 15 years ago. I'm a young adult, and I can say from experience that it was 100 times more easier, if I wished, to get my hands on cannabis than it was alcohol. And I don't think that that's the way it should be. I don't think that a 16, 15-year-old should be able to have access to mind-altering drugs like that. And that's the way it is currently, and so that's what I think needs to change. And I think that prohibition is long overdue. It needs to happen at a national, state level, and there needs to be an overhaul.
Jacob,
thank you.
Thanks for the call. Robert, that brings us to the idea of, okay, how is pot regulated? How, as Jacob says, do we try to keep it out of the hands of minors who are better off without it?
Yeah, so what states have done so far, especially those states that have legalized this for non-medical purposes, all of them have set an age limit that is identical to the one for alcohol. So you have to be at least 21 years old to buy the drug. And typically they will regulate licensees the same way that they regulate alcohol licensees. So they'll say that you can lose your license to grow and sell marijuana if you knowingly sell to a minor. And they typically require them to card customers at the door, so they won't even allow a minor into a particular store. Now, that doesn't mean that people can't resell the drug. You know, someone who's 21 can go in and buy some amount of marijuana, walk out with it, and sell it to resell it to minors. But states do try to regulate the access of minors to this drug. They also tend to restrict advertising advertising the drug in outlets where it might be seen by minors. TV shows, things like that, you're not allowed to advertise there if a certain portion of the audience is going to be underage.
And how about product safety, potency, purity, things like that? Do we see in states marijuana inspectors who make sure it's what it says on the tin?
States are certainly trying to do that. Every state that has legalized or the commercial supply of the drug requires licensed vendors to test their products. For a variety of reasons. They want those vendors to test them to see if there's any harmful chemicals in there, like pesticides. But they also want them to test their products to make sure that they, you know, consumers know what's in there, how much of the active ingredient in marijuana, the THC, is actually going to be in there. And then you have to report those results typically on the label for the product. So consumers should have a lot more information about what they're putting into their body from these licensed stores than they have now buying from a street level dealer.
Talking about marijuana legalization and what happens after legalizations, how states put rules and laws into place, the issues they have to contend with. Robert Mikos is with us from Vanderbilt University. Back to your calls now. Kevin is with us in Crandon. Kevin, hi.
Hello, yeah. Taking off Schedule 1 for the federal part of it, yes, should be legal in Wisconsin medically and recreationally, just as it is in Michigan. I'm up here in the northern part of the state, and we're relatively close to a dispensary on the other side of the line, and they're going gangbusters. They're making plans on building two or three buildings for growing. Their store is in an area where there's no one else around, no houses, no other businesses or anything. And, Americans need to get over it and get over themselves and just let the weed be free.
Kevin, thanks a lot for that call. Now, Kevin, near the border there, as he mentioned, Robert, we have states where it's legal, states where it's illegal. Do we know if we have a lot of cross-border traffic?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things about marijuana, this has been driven by the states, and many states have said, we should have the ability to legalize this drug if we want, but that can impact neighboring states. Certainly when commercial sales get up and running in Michigan, that's going to make the drug more available in Wisconsin as well. People can just jump across the state line to buy it. We've already seen that in Colorado. There have been estimates even from state agencies there that a fairly sizable portion of the sales that take place in Colorado are actually destined for people in other states. People will go in, buy the drug at multiple stores, and then take it with them back home or maybe take it back to another state and resell it there. So what's happening elsewhere certainly can have impacts well beyond that local jurisdiction. And that's a big sticking point with marijuana regulation, is just when you allow the states to kind of craft their own policies, that's going to have impacts on other states, not just with prohibition states, but legalization states as well. There's been a concern among legalization states. One of the big rationales for legalizing this drug is the promise that it will generate a lot of new tax revenues. And that may be true in the short term, but if another state next door legalizes the drug and charges a lower tax on the drug, your home state's tax revenues are probably going to go down as well. So these cross-border shipments of the drug are a concern for both prohibition states as well as legalization states.
Let's bring on one more caller. Renee is with us in Manitowish Waters. Renee, hello.
Hello.
Did you want to tell us about, Renee?
Yes. My son was killed by a person that was had been smoking marijuana for the full day. The total reason for the accident was because he was very high. People that say that it makes no effects and we just have at it have had nothing bad happen to you because of marijuana. His wife, his son, and everybody involved with my son changed their life drastically because of marijuana.
Renee, I'm very sorry for your loss. Thank you, though, for sharing that story. Robert, this is another issue, drinking while under the influence of marijuana. How have states tackled that?
It's tough. That's certainly a tragic case. I think the legalization states have said, they see the danger involved with marijuana legalization and driving under the influence of the drug. But to them, the proper response isn't banning the drug outright, but instead it's trying to tackle that particular problem. And they've approached it in a few different ways. Unfortunately, no one has the silver bullet. No one has the breathalyzer that we now have for alcohol that can test reliably for the presence of marijuana in someone who's driving. So instead, states have to prove impairment some other way, and that can be a little bit challenging. But the states have also taken a second, harder stance on driving under the influence. Some states have created these, they're called per se DUI laws. And these laws make you liable, make you criminally liable if you drive with the presence of any amount of an illicit substance in your blood, including marijuana. So some states, until they figure out what it means to be impaired by marijuana, until they figure out a way for police to reliably test it, are taking a very strict approach towards DUI because of these concerns over how it can impair drivers.
Robert, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Robert Mikos is a professor of law at Vanderbilt University. He joined us for a look at cannabis laws state by state. You can read Rochelle Wilson's piece on Michigan's marijuana laws, by the way, over at wisconsinwatch.org.